Hallelujah. Would you turn to Hosea 4:6? Praise God, I feel like I just got rebuked. Turn her anyway. Hosea 4:6. Would y'all mind reading it with me? All right, let's grab hold of the scripture, okay? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yes. God says his own people are destroyed. Remember, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the Lord has come to bring life and life abundantly. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and knowledge that is not understood is not truth. So there's a lot of people that can quote scriptures, tell you the page numbers, but they don't get it. So knowledge to them really isn't truth because it's not understood. The knowledge that he is speaking here is knowledge that is understood. Knowledge that understood, it becomes truth. Knowledge that is not understood, it becomes error. Amen. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. And a priesthood is the first office that we are to fulfill as a believer. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. And again, that's how curses come down the family line, because our forefathers have not done what they're supposed to do according to the will of God. So what happens is we inherit, those individuals inherit things. So people become drug addicts, people become prostitutes, and all kinds of strange things open doors of darkness because of what they've inherited. You are what you've inherited. You know, it's amazing how many parents keep blaming the kids of what they're doing when the parents are out of line. And if they would have gotten in line, their kids maybe wouldn't be where they are. But praise God, it's time to get back in line. It's time to get in line, get things right, break these curses off. Because a curse gives an open way for demonic forces to enter into your family line. So understand that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. And in this lack of knowledge, it is important. Because the Bible says that in the last days, knowledge is going to increase. But he didn't, listen, carnal knowledge, carnal wisdom, all of the things of the world, there's a lot of technology increasing tremendously. And what it's doing, it's actually swaying people away from God. You know, people are waiting for God to call them on their cell phones now. They're waiting for a text from God. Yeah, I'm waiting for the Lord to text me. Praise God, I'm waiting for him to seal you. Praise God. But in this technology, in where it says knowledge will increase, and this technology is swaying people away, and it's actually bringing another area of deception. You know, people are more interested in entertainment now. They're looking for fulfillment through entertainment instead of the presence of God. So they go through great lengths. I mean, I'm telling you, people buy all kinds of stuff so that they can be full, fleshed out entertainment. And because knowledge is increasing, it's a way the enemy is swaying people away from God. And he's been doing this ever since the beginning, when he sent his angels, when Satan sent his angels in form of men, when they put on flesh, and they taught mankind. Those were what they called the fallen angels that came into the natural realm wearing flesh. And they were Satan's servants, and they came in, and that's where Zeus and all of these mighty men and all kinds of gods and goddesses and all of these things were established, and they were teaching mankind all kinds of knowledge, how to make weapons, how to dress, how to make themselves beautiful, how to do all kinds of things, setting a trend and hope to move mankind away from God and be self-dependent and independent on themselves instead of dependent on God. And it's been going on ever since the beginning. And there's an area that begins to happen where individuals perceive things differently then. And there's a difference in the area, especially in the perception of reality, you know, where what is really real? You know, they're trying to make games reality. They're trying to make all kinds of technology into a real realm. And it's just a ploy of the enemy moving people away from the presence of God. So people are getting fulfilled by this technology. Virtual technology. It is a false reality. And many people are falling into this false reality because of the lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Many people are falling into the arena of going back. In other words, they might have started correctly, but then they've gone back because they've been taken captive by this deception. And Satan's greatest weapon is deception. You know, and his power is fear. Many people are falling back into religion instead of relationship. They're actually giving up their relationship with the Lord and beginning to have a ritual or relationship with rituals. Because it's quicker. It's easier. And they can get right back into their entertainment realm. And these things are happening quickly and mightily. But I'm telling you, God is raising up a standard. Because one of the things that the Spirit does is tells us things to come. He begins to expose the enemy so that we are alert, that we are sober, that we are vigilant, knowing that your adversary is out to try to kill you. Try to kill you. Would you turn to Romans chapter 10, please? Romans chapter 10. And verse 1. Chapter 10 and verse 1. Let's read it together. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be what? Saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. In other words, not according to the truth. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And this is a very specific place right here that he says, you know, people begin to do things, well, I'm a good person. Well, I'm a good wife. I'm a good husband. See, that's where an individual becomes religious, trying to fulfill their own righteousness, saying that because of what they do, they're righteous, and what they are doing is negating what Christ did on the cross. Because Jesus is the righteousness of God. There isn't anything you and I can do to become righteous. It's the righteousness of Christ that dwells within us. But see, that's why there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of righteousness, which is the tree of life. So many people think that they're going to get into heaven because they're good. Well, they're going to be surprised on that day. Because good people don't get to heaven. Righteous ones do. And a righteousness can only be established in Christ. You know, it's amazing in the deception arena and the perception of reality to an individual and how they perceive things, especially many people that have been bound by drugs or alcohol or some kind of addiction or whatever. So they get free from the addiction and they think if they stay free from the addiction or the pornography or the gambling or the whatever it may be, that they're fine. Well, I'm not sinning anymore. Well, the Bible says if you're harming the temple of God, you are sinning. And God says he'll allow you to be destroyed. You know, and so in this, people become self-righteous in the area where they begin to justify that they're not doing the things they used to do. Are you listening? But they're doing something different now. So they're not drinking, they're not partying, they're not fornicating, but they're not doing the will of God. And the word says that anyone who does not do the will of God will not inherit the kingdom of God. So what they're doing is they're proclaiming to be righteous because they're not doing things they used to do. And that is a perception of deception. Has everybody got it? totally deceptive by the enemy. Why? Because they do not understand the knowledge of God, so they can compare what is of God and not what is of God. See, individuals do not know how to please God then. And it's already embedded in us that we have a desire to please God. But see, when the conviction comes, many people just begin to shove it underneath the rug and say, later. Later. I'll take care of this later. Why, they're decaying and they're dying. Or they're losing and not being able to build the things eternally waiting for them to get home. That's just an area of deception of the enemy. So he's saying, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. In verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The word believe means to follow. If you say you're a believer and not a follower, you are a liar. Well, that's a hard word. No, it's true. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the righteousness of the faith, that's those who follow, are followers or they're believers. And it's not just believing anything. It's the area where you're believing the eternal truths. You are a follower of eternal truth. A follower of eternal truth. Truths that have been revealed to you by the Spirit of God through His Word, through His presence, through His voice. Through dreams, through visions, whatever it may be. Jesus is the righteousness of God, and His character in you will express His righteousness through you. Everybody got it? Hebrews 11. Glory. Yes, Hebrews. Hebrews 11. In verse 6. So we are those of the faith that believe truth, eternal truth, follow eternal truth. And the Spirit of truth that dwells within us, the Spirit of Christ, expresses His righteousness through us. And verse 6, but without faith it is what? It is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God, what? Must. See that word must? Must, what? Believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Can you imagine how Noah got mocked? Just think what people would think about you if you began to build an ark in your driveway. You would have every name possible. Man, look at that idiot. He's building an ark. So, you know, you would totally be persecuted. And you're being persecuted now just because you're following righteousness. You're following truth. People are going to think, what happened to you, man? What's the matter, man? You're changed. You're different. Yes. Oh, man, you're just self-righteous. No, it's not my righteousness. It's His that dwells in me. I can't help it. I can't help that I'm righteous. And it's not my fault. I've been born again that way. Man, I was born unrighteous. Thought being good was okay. Tried to be good and couldn't even be good. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. How many of y'all not know where you're going? Amen. Is that okay? Yeah! Praise God. What you doing? I don't know. But I'm doing it. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it. Why? Because I'm doing it by faith. Why? Because God showed me I'm supposed to do it. What are you doing? I don't know. He just said, do it. That's what I saw. So you're walking by faith. Why? Because you're walking by spiritual sight. Amen. Is everybody okay? So on this, there's that place where we've got to have a perception of reality. We've got to be able to discern what is real and what isn't. What is real and what isn't. And this is where the world is under the sway of the wicked one. He has blinded many souls who do not know what reality. In fact, they still don't know who they are. They don't know why they're here, and they have no idea where they're going. I mean, I'm talking eternally. They think, some of them think they're just going to die and go to sleep and never come back. And this is it. Get all you can while you're here. And whoever has the most toys makes it home. That's not true. The word must, it says in Hebrews, must believe he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That he is real. That he's what? Real. That he is faithful. And that he is truth. That he is real. That he is faithful. And that he is truth. And it's important to comprehend the reality of this truth. That he is real. That he is with you. It is a reality that is real. And it's something that the enemy always wants to steal from you. He wants to steal from you the true reality of what's going on. He wants to blanket things and put an amusement over it. He wants to smooth things out so you can't see the reality. He wants you to be caught up in an imaginary realm and not a realm of reality. Has everybody got it? You know, most people in the world, I mean, you know, and when I was in the world, I did the same thing, man. I had high, you know, dreams of being successful, dreams of doing this, dreams of doing that, and whatever. And there's nothing wrong with dreams, but I didn't have two nickels rubbed together. My dreams were delusions, especially the state that I was in. An addict using, trying to live my own life, doing my own things and whatever. It was a delusion. And what it did is just keep bringing me further and further and further. I believed that there was a God, but I never knew him. I never even knew that there was a power of God. I believed that there was a heaven and a hell. And I hoped to God I didn't go to the hell. I didn't know how to get to heaven. I didn't know what to do. Until he came. And he sent someone across my path and told me I needed to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And when I did, he took me. And it's been let's go ever since. Let's go. Let's get real. Let's get real. You know, the amazing thing to me was I've been lied to my whole life. Even my parents lied to me. Not on purpose. They didn't know the truth. They went to church, put a couple bucks in the offering now and then. And they sure went on Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter. You kidding? You wouldn't miss Easter. That was a mortal sin. You could die and go to hell if you missed church on that day. And you had to wear purple, or that was the also sin, man, you know. And then you got convicted because you didn't get dashed with ashes, you know. Where's the ashes on your head? I don't know. I smoked them. It's Talk about deception. Amen. Mark 16:16 and 16. Mark 16:16. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. And he who what? Believes, which means to follow, and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe, now you get this. He who does not follow will be what? Condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe or those who follow. These are signs of believers. He says in my name, they'll what? Cast out demons. That's a sign of a believer. Hallelujah. They will speak with new tongues. Satakaya rohosi. That's a sign of a believer. They will take up serpents. That means demons, devils, you know. And they will drink anything deadly. Not on purpose, because you die if you test God. I see these granolas on TV. Nutty and Fruity. They dance with serpents. And they drink cyanide. And they die. I've seen them filming on TV. 2 weeks later, they go to the kid, where's your mother? Well, she drank cyanide. She's dead. Well, where's your father? He danced with a snake and it bit him. And where's he? He's dead. So you're going to do the same thing? Hello? Incredible. It means if you do anything that's attempting to hurt you, it can't hurt you. Believe me, I've eaten some food some days that I thought I was going to die. And I've used a scripture, not you, hon. Believe me, I gone to people's houses and the food, the eyes were crossed when they were trying to feed me. I was like, God. And it says, and it will by no means hurt you. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Believe me, I've had to lay hands on some food and hope they would recover. Oh Lord, please protect me from eating what I'm about to eat. You know, but you want to be hospitable. That's where that word comes from. See, being hospital, you can end up in the hospital. What happened to you? I was hospital. Where you at? What's his name? So I was eating dinner there? Yeah, oh God. Everybody goes hospitable. So in this, these are signs. These are signs that will follow believers. They will cast out demons. Hello. They will speak with new tongues. These are signs. They will lay hands on the sick. And they will avoid eating food that will kill them. Because God's given them wisdom. These are signs. He who believes and follow these signs will follow them. You know, some don't believe. Because they are bound by their own belief system of error. Which becomes a religion. It becomes a what? A religion. So they're bound by their own belief system of error, which prevents them from going forward, and it brings them into a bondage. And it becomes their religion.
Well, this is just the way I believe it, and that's that. No, I don't read that part in the Word. Uh-uh. I read everything else but right there. Oh, that wasn't for today. Oh, that was just for the apostles. Well, what are you? Aren't you disciples of Christ? God is no respecter of person. It's become a religion to an individual when they are bound by their own belief systems of error. And it's affecting their perception of reality. There is the reality of the physical realm, there is a reality of the spiritual realm, and there's a reality of truth in both realms.
I'm going to say that again. There is a reality of the physical realm. There's a reality of the spiritual realm. And there's a reality of truth in both realms. And it's called the perception of reality that you and I must have. Because it's an area where you perceive what reality really is. And people's belief system will cause them to perceive incorrectly or correctly of what reality really is. That's why people see shadows in their home. They be sleeping and something comes and chokes them. And they wake up and go, wow, that was a bad dream. No, that was a demon in your room. That shadow you saw going by was a demon in your house. Do you remember when you bought that accursed item and you brought it in and things started manifesting? Even though you didn't know what it was. Or that horseshoe that hangs over, you know, the walkway, or that lucky charm, or all of these things that are cursed items, because God says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Or that music that's being played. And you wonder why your kid's a maniac. Because of lack of knowledge. Because of the belief system that is incorrect, it's an error. It's been handed down. It's been brought forth. It's been expressed through music. It's been expressed through TV. It's been expressed through entertainment. It's been expressed through history. It's been expressed in our school and education system. Man, it's okay to bring your Ouija board. It's okay to read your horoscope, but don't speak about Jesus. You kidding me? You get suspended for telling the truth. See, the reality of the physical realm, the reality of the spiritual realm, and the reality of truth in both realms is based on your relationship with the spirit of truth and your belief systems. So your perception of reality is prompted by your belief system. Does everybody got it? Your perception of what is real, your perception of reality is prompted by your belief system. Even though people cast out demons, speak in tongues, lay hands on the sick, is biblical. For so many people, it is not real. It isn't real. You try to tell somebody got healed or whatever, and they don't know. I mean, even in your own families. Oh, man, why wasn't it on TV? Well, first of all, the media is demonic. And they're not going to promote Christ, the ruler of this world. Earth is Satan. But on some stations, you will see it. So for some people, it isn't real because the perception of reality is flawed by their belief system. And they are entangled with the spirit of error. And Acts 17. So what needs to get changed? The belief system. In verse 22. Let's read it. Then Paul stood in the midst of Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive. He what? He perceived that in all things you are what? Very religious. Paul's perception of reality, because he was able to discern the truth. He said, man, your reality is established by your flawed beliefs, and you call it religion. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship. I even found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. In other words, little statues. Little Mary, little Joseph, little this, little that. Nor is he worshipped with man's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him
and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offsprings. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. So it's a command. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world. He's going to judge the world in what? Righteousness. By the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. So Paul, in a subtle way, rebuked them because of their perception of reality. It was flawed by their belief system, which had set limitations on their lives. You know, so spiritually, they could progress no further. You know, they were defying the divine nature of the unseen righteous God, or the righteousness of God, with tangible substances of gold and silver and things that were made of idols. These were carnal values. Has everybody got it? These were worldly things that were worth things in the world that they began to worship. In Mark 8, would you go there for a moment, please? And these are areas that will affect individuals' belief system. It's amazing now because the economy is a little bit upset. So every other commercial, you got these guys coming on, they're trying to sell people gold. Man, get the gold. It's the only thing worth anything. But the Bible says, and when it comes to that period of time, people are going to throw their gold and silver in the street, and it's not going to be worth anything. So what does it matter? You and I went into and bought something at the store, and the guy, and I happened to have a $100 bill, and the guy pulled out the $100, I pulled out the $100 bill and gave it to him and began to look at it. I said, don't worry, it was freshly printed today. He said, well, it looks pretty good. I said, it's only paper. It doesn't mean anything. And he looked at me and said, yeah, that's about what it's coming to, isn't it? I said, yeah. That's why you got to have Christ, because even money's become the idol of America. Why do you think the Twin Towers were brought down? Those were the global trade towers. For what? Money. Do you know that the United States controls the economy of the world? The United States controls the banking system of the world. And God brought down the two main towers. Yes, it was an air terrorist attack. Don't you think God could have told somebody what was happening? He did. He told a few prophets that I knew that were out there. But nobody would listen. Just to save lives. But that disaster caused a lot of people to fill churches in that whole area. But it didn't last long because of their flawed belief system. Because they began to believe or be bound to their own beliefs. And it put limitations on them. It became religious. In Mark 8, is everybody there? In verse 11, perception of reality. How do you perceive reality? Mark 8 and verse 11, I'm almost there. Let's read this together, please. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking for him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left them, getting into a boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees and the leaven of Herod." For they reasoned among themselves, saying, "Is it because we have no bread?" In other words, hello. So they were looking at the area where because they forgot the bread. And Jesus was telling them, don't you get it? It's not about the bread. It's about the evil that's in the Pharisees. It's about the evil that's in Herod that's going to be speaking evil and try to remove you from the true reality of what's happening. In verse 17, and Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart so hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember?" Do you not what? Remember. When I broke the 5 loaves for the what? 5,000. 5 loaves of bread fed 5,000. You think he was concerned about the bread? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 12. Hello. 12 baskets of fragments. Leftovers. Which was 10, 20, 30 times more than the 5 loaves they started with after they already fed 5,000 people. Also, when I broke the 7 loaves of bread for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. And he said to them, how is it that you don't understand? What's the matter for you? Their perception of reality. Jesus was still training them up because they were still associated with their flawed belief system. He was trying to share them with them. Do you know what is real? Let me share with you what is real, the real thing. Ain't nothing like the real thing. The real thing is that Jesus was expressing reality that the unseen realm was visible to them. And they were missing it. That he was real. That he's the God that provides. That he is the God of miracles. And these guys are still trying to probably think where they left the baskets of crumbs so they could go feed the next ones. Man, where are we leaving? No, it had nothing to do with that. He was trying to bring them a reality that the unseen is right in front of them. Here's the reality. See, the level... Oh, glory. The level of perception is deemed by your ability to see, to hear, and to interpret. I'm going to repeat that. The level of your perception is deemed by your ability to see, to hear, and to interpret what is real time. In other words, real time is God's time. Because the real time of the world is driven. In other words, the world is being driven. People in the world are being driven. They're being driven to success. They're being driven. But the real time of the kingdom of God is being led. So we're being led. The world is being driven. They're being pushed. Again, real time here meaning now. Meaning right now. This is real time. We are in a real time. We are real people. And we are in a real place. And there's a real spiritual realm. There's a real physical realm. And there's a real truth in both realms. And it's our responsibility to be able to perceive that. That's our responsibility. That's why he gave us the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. You know, it's amazing because, here's a little reality, perception of reality story. I went upstairs in my house and it was hot. So my AC was set at 77 and it was now 85. I had a reality check. Something's wrong. AC. Now, the guy came over and so forth, and he checked the pressure and the level, and he says, man, it's been leaking. Okay, so we know I don't have to change a breaker. That's a reality. So he pressurized the whole system, and you could put your ear to the coil, and you can hear bubbling. But you couldn't see no leak, and he got the sensor. Now, this high-quality nuclear active sensor that sets off an alarm when it senses a leak. And he put it in every area, and it didn't make a stinking sound. So he says, you got anything to squirt in there? So I said, miracle two. So we got some soap, put some water in it, and began to squirt on the coil. And all of a sudden, you can start seeing the bubbles because the air pressure, little forming everywhere. Places where the sensor could not pick it up. And I thought this as well, because hearing, I couldn't see it, but I could hear it. So we had to do something to expose it. Are you listening? Because I knew really that it was hot. Nobody was going to tell me it was cool. I knew it was hot. And I also could hear the bubbling sound, but I wasn't sure where it was coming from. So we knew that there was a leak because the guy just came out and filled it the day before, too, or 2 days before, and it was leaking already. But and the coil was basically replaced recently. So they bought a bum coil, and the thing's been leaking. So now the bubble's coming out. I'm seeing like about 10 little bubble patches all over the place, and it's like, man, this is incredible. But it brought me the reality of our responsibility to make what is unseen to become seen. Amen? You know, it's our responsibility to do that. And it's our responsibility to have the perception of reality. What is real? Man, I'll never forget when we first got saved, and somebody gave me a staff, and I put it in my house, and I'm not going to go through the whole story because I'm going to dress up as Moses and this and that and whatever, but somebody gave me a staff, and I... It was for Halloween. And I don't do Halloween. And the Lord said, I want you to dress up as Moses. So I didn't know if he wanted me to split the driveway, you know, or the whole street. You know, praise God. Claim all the houses. All right, rah, you know, but didn't work that way. So anyways, he said, I want you to bless all the children that come up and apply the blood of Jesus and put Bibles in. Of course, I went a little further than that. So I got bags of potato chips and cans and stuff, and I had labels made up and said, repent! You brought a curse on yourself for participating in this day. And I would send a message home to the parents. They didn't like me. And they were upset with me, man. Some people even brought the stuff back and put it on my front lawn. I said, that's a great way. I can do it again next year. But hallelujah. So anyways, this staff, I borrowed a staff, and it was painted blue on the bottom, about 2 feet on the staff. So I put the staff down in the kitchen, and I walked by it, and I saw in the spirit it go, like a move of a snake. Yeah, hold on a second. I double checked it. It still was solid. But I'm thinking, what's real? What's real here? Perception of reality. Then I had to go back to have something to compare it with. Of course, a serpent came out of my body when I had my encounter with the Lord. Ah. Come out in the name of Jesus. So I went back into the kitchen, and I walked by the staff again, and it did the same thing. But the staff was still a staff, but it was like out of a glimpse of my eye or imagination, whatever you want to call it.
I saw this thing do it again. I said, okay, I got you now, man. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command you to come out and leave my house. I should have gone a little further because I went to go open the front door and there he was. And it was this black snake with diamonds on it, red mouth and everything. And I said, get off of my lawn and so forth. He left. I behead them now, so I didn't know that was my first, second part with it. And then my sister in Christ came over and I said, man, I got to tell you something. I said, I cast a serpent out of that snake. She said, did they have a red mouth, red diamonds? I said, yes. She goes, well, underneath that painting of that staff is a picture of one. And that's when I began to learn about accursed items that draw demonic activity. And I began to realize that pictures of dragons, pictures of this, all of this, you know, people would call me from out of state and say, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this. I'd say, look around, tell me what's in your living room. Well, I got a little statue of a witch doctor. Well, man, get it out of there. Well, I've got pornography videos, but I moved them to the basement. Well, hello. Moving to the basement isn't going to help you. You need to burn them. Get them out of there. Throw them in the garbage. So all of these things that the Spirit... Why? Because I'm telling you, it hit me so strong about perception of reality to where when I'm looking at things, I see the reality of the natural, but I'm looking for the reality of the Spirit. Because that's where it's at. And we'll know by the fruit which will assist us in what is determining the reality. So now your belief system, depending on your belief system, if it is flawed, you will not look for the fruit of the other side. You'll constantly stay looking here. You'll constantly stay looking here. You can't see what's going on the other side. And you'll get caught here. Acts 12. Acts chapter 12. It's going to be simple, quick teaching. Yeah. Acts chapter 12 and verse 8. Is everybody there? Then the angel said to him, gird yourself. Now let's go back a little bit. Start at verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. Are you listening? He was bound with what? Two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Come on, you think Peter's probably, whoa. What's real here, man? Is this a dream? What's up? Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. So here's Peter putting on his shoes. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was what? Real. But thought he was what? Seeing a vision. When they were passed by the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Oh. That must have blown Peter's mind. See, they're real. They're real. They're there. The perception of reality is prompted by your belief system. It's determined by your belief system. And it can be hindered by your belief system. See, the enemy always wants to entrap you in this realm. He wants you to make this realm the only real realm. That's his job, and he does it well. You know, when hallelujah, you know,
Let's go to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. Is everybody there? There was so much. But I'm going to just hit a couple other places here. In verse 20. Would you read it with me? Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. In other words, in signs and symbols and all kinds of stuff. They began to worship rituals. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged a natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent and proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them, they will also be deserving of death. Why? The perception of reality is diluted by pride and lust. By pride and lust. The perception of true reality is diluted by the pride and the lust. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2, and we'll close here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Are you getting this? You know, many who see still can't perceive. They say they see, but they can't perceive. Has everybody got it? Yeah, well, I can see. No, you can't. That's why the Word tells us to examine ourselves. Many who see still can't perceive what is real and what is a lie, because they can't see clearly. They can only see distant. They can't see all the way through. You know, Saul, who became Paul, was one of, or the perception of reality was really messed up. Here he was believing because his belief system that was flawed, and he was believing, he was bound to his own beliefs, was created his own religion, caused him to go out and bring those who were believers, bound men, women, and children, and they were killed. They were put in prison. But he was doing it believing that he was doing it for God, until the Lord showed up and slammed him off his horse. Saul became Paul, realized, and the one thing God had to do was blind him, because he was seeing totally incorrect because of his perception of reality. See, because his personal belief system became his religion. And in other words, he began to believe in his own stuff instead of what the truth was. And when people begin to believe in their own stuff instead of what the truth is, there are people who refuse to even read the Bible. No, I don't want to know it. Why? Because they have their own belief system. And their own belief system is flawed. And it's promoting a religion. And they are bound and they are limited and never can progress. Never can progress because now they're convicted by the truth. You know, in the dark ages, the Bible, they didn't want you to have the Bible. In fact, only the priest could read you the stuff. They didn't want people to have the Bible because they wanted control. They wanted men to fear them and not know the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, is everybody there? Let's read it. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the what? Latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. In other words, he's going to cleanse himself, washing himself with truth. He's going to cleanse himself from the things of the latter, exchanging the truths now for the lies that have been portrayed in their lives. He's going to exchange these lies. He's going to exchange the pride. He's going to exchange the lust for truth. He's going to exchange the addictions. He's going to exchange the perversions. He's going to exchange all of the things that are self-proclaimed, self-believing bondages, including false entertainment. He's going to exchange these. He's going to wash himself from all of these things so that he can be a vessel of honor, prepared for every good work. It says, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call out on the Lord out of a what? A pure heart. But avoid foolish and arrogant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by the devil to do his will. Why? Because of beliefs. A flawed belief system. Amen. Remember, we are in a real time with real people serving a real God and fighting a real enemy of deception. Perception of reality causes you to perceive. In other words, you want to perceive what is real and what isn't. And there is a reality of the unseen realm. There's a reality of the seen realm. And there's a reality of truth in both realms. And it's our responsibility to know those things. Amen? Is everybody okay? And that's why the world is a mess. That's why things are happening. We're hearing it all over. And that's all that's coming out is more and more deception. They're trying to water more and more deception. False promises, this, that, whatever. But we can see it all the way through because we know the truth. And we know what's real. And he's real. And he's faithful. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We're honored and blessed. And Lord, we just submit everything to you right now. And we repent for anything that we have established according to our own belief system that is of error and flawed and cause us to be bound in religion and allowed limitations on our life from progressing with you. We repent and sever ourselves from all those attachments. We put the blood between us and we ask, Lord, that you continue to fill us, establish us, perfect us, and grant us the perception of reality that we may prove what is real and what is fake. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.